I loved spelling tests when I was a kid. And the reason I loved spelling tests is because I was really good at them. So it would be like a constant weekly thing of the teachers trying to give those of us who were good at spelling in the class the hardest spellings. And it was like, yes, because I naturally am quite good at spellings. So the weekly spelling test was this opportunity to see if I could get all of them right. Well, it's exam time right now. Here's a little picture of some people doing some exams. So I hope this doesn't put the fear of God inside of you, either if you're in the middle of exams or remember doing exams. But all around the country and even within our church, students are furiously revising, trying to cram all the stuff that they've learned over the last year or so into their brains so that it comes out on a piece of paper in a certain amount of time. Year six students and pupils at the school over the road have just completed their SATs, their standard attainment tests. It's meant to show how they have attained or what they have attained. It's meant to show the school and the teachers how well the kids are doing. But tests are also a way of finding out how students are struggling. So I don't know if you remember doing mocks. Anyone remember doing mocks? You know, you'd sit and you'd do the exam and then your teacher would go through them with you. And there would be parts of the exam that you're like, yes, I totally nailed that. I'm great. Look at my score. Yeah, 3 out of 3 on that question. Thank you very much. And then there were bits of the exam that you got completely wrong. The point of doing the mocks, the point of doing the tests, was not just to encourage you on the bits where you were doing really well. It was also to help you see where you needed to do a little bit of extra work. You see, tests reveal what's inside of us. Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, which, to be honest, I've always thought is a bit of a weird prayer, because James 1 verse 13 says this: God doesn't tempt anyone. So why would I be praying, Lord, don't lead me into temptation, if he's already said, I'm not going to? That seems a bit weird, right? Why would I pray that? Well, the Greek word for temptation that we say in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, the Greek word is pyrasmos, and it means a testing or a trial. So the Good News translation says, do not bring us into hard testing. And the NRSV, New Revised Standard, says, do not bring us to the time of trial, this time of testing, this time of trial, but deliver us from evil. See, this clause in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, is effectively one and the same clause, even though we're going to take 2 weeks to look at it, because I want to press into this idea of testing and trial today before next week we talk about evil and deliverance. Because the testing, the trials come because of the presence of evil, because of the presence of brokenness in this world. If it was a perfect world under God's perfect rule and reign, there wouldn't be those times of trials and tribulations. It's due to the brokenness around us, the brokenness within us, that we struggle. So we'll talk more about that next week. But Jesus himself, as we've said, went through trials. He went through testing. He went through tribulations. In fact, one commentator argues that this is the very prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, when Jesus is saying, Lord, I really don't want to do this, but your will be done, not mine. One commentator says it's basically the same as saying, Lord, don't lead us into the time of trial. If you can take this cup from me, Jesus said, then please do. If I don't have to go through this, then that would be great. But the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus shows us that sometimes the victory comes by going through the trial, not by being saved from the trial. The victory comes because we go through the trial and God delivers us, rather than God saves us from the trial in the first place. Scripture promises us that we'll never be tested beyond what we can endure. So 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can, what, escape from it? Sorry, no. Endure it. You can make it through. And James, get this, Jesus's brother, who wrote one of the letters in the New Testament, suggests that we should even rejoice. Get this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kinds. Yeah, life's got really tough. Awesome. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You want to become holy? You want to become mature? You want to become whole? That word means the same thing. That's what the word holy means in Scripture. You want to become a whole person? I'm afraid to tell you that the Scriptures say there's one way to do it, and it's by persevering through the testing, persevering through the trials. Now, let's be clear. We're not rejoicing at the trials and temptations. That would be stupid. What we're rejoicing in is the fact that in those times, our faith is proved, or we prove our mettle, to use an old phrase. These tests and these trials and them temptations, they come big and small, don't they? They're all around us every day. Rick is talking about this in the kids' work, and he's got sweets. That's perhaps less of a temptation for us, but for our kids, you know, let's just thrive on sugar. Come on. That's what we need. But for us, it's more like the temptation to put your identity in the kind of car that you drive, for example, or what furniture you own, or what clothes that you wear, and what grade you achieved, or how well your kids are doing, or for the older ones among us, how well your grandkids are doing. It's choosing to speak well of people rather than sharing that bit of juicy gossip that won't benefit anyone other than giving you a nice time and being able to bring them down a peg or two. Choosing not to. Choosing not to eat that second cake or that second biscuit. Choosing not to open that second bottle. Choosing not to watch that explicit movie. Choosing to remain pure within our sex lives, both in our thoughts and in our actions. I was talking with someone this week who has struggled in the past with pornography. He was telling me of a time recently where his wife was out and he had been tempted to start searching online. And he was really down and frustrated because he'd begun the search. So he'd gone to the computer, he'd started tapping in the search, he'd found the website, and then he stopped. And he was feeling gutted because he was like, oh, but I went there and I almost did. And he was frustrated. And I was like, that's an amazing victory. Because this thing with which you have struggled, you were able to say no. So that's not something to be sad about. That is something to celebrate because you are winning freedom from pornography by doing that very thing. He proved himself during the test. Something to celebrate. When we lived in Arizona, our house was burgled by a gang that the police later told us were the most evil people they'd ever met. They had stolen my garage opener from my car and the insurance document, which has our address on it. So all they needed to do was drive to our house, because they had the address, open the garage, drive into the garage, close the garage behind them, and then go into the house and take whatever they wanted. Well, they took two metal filing boxes that I had put everything in. They had our passports, they had our visas, they had our birth certificates, they had our bank records, they had everything about the kids. All of the stuff that we owned was stored in these metal boxes because they have wildfires in Arizona and they recommend that you want to keep things in fireproof boxes so that if a fire comes, you can pick them up and walk out. Well, the burglars picked them up and walked out with them, along with everything else that was of value, like our computer, our TV, two of my guitars. And when the police finally came, which took them a long time to do, they said, or they didn't believe that we had actually been burgled. There was no sign of a break-in, and it was only the really expensive technological items that had been stolen. We had flights booked for a return journey to the UK to come back on holiday, 3 weeks' time. Well, we knew that we were never going to be able to do it because our passports had been nicked. We had to send off a new birth certificate so that we could send off a new passport. So I called the travel insurance company. I'd got travel insurance. Oh, yeah. So I called the travel insurance company and said, look, what do we do? Do we postpone the flight? What do we do? And they said, no, what you want to do is cancel the flight. So we spent $4,000 on the flights. So cancel them and then rebook them at a time when you know that you can because you're not able to suspend. I don't know why. But we couldn't postpone it. So cancelled them, and I went, and I will never forget, I don't know why, but I think I was kind of giddy with the excitement of being able to spend this much money on flights again. So we booked them far enough in advance so that we knew we'd be able to still get a bit of a holiday, and we'd have our passport. So I went down to the airport, and I paid with them on a credit card, full of confidence, $10,000, because we were booking them in such short time, thinking, this is great, it's fine, the Lord's provided, the assurance has covered us. Well, do you remember how they broke in? Garage opener, no sign of a break-in. Got home to a letter saying, we're sorry to inform you that because there is no sign of a break-in, we were not able to cover the payment. $14,000. That's a lot of money, even in English money. Lord, what is going on? We've had everything burgled from us. All of our life has been stolen. We weren't believed by the police. We've had to try and convince the insurance company to give us what's been stolen so that we've had to then buy a whole bunch of new stuff. What is going on? This is incredibly hard. Why, when you called us here, are we going through this? It was in this season that Romans 8:28 became like a mantra to us. We know in all things God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Lord, it doesn't feel like it, but somehow I trust that you're going to turn good out of this because this sucks. It was a test of our faith. Oh my word. And miraculously, God did provide the money. I actually, to this day, have no idea how. I know there was a couple of people who were generous towards us, but not to that extent. Miraculously, the Lord provided. He delivered us through a great trial. So Jesus told his disciples in Gethsemane, those who had stood by him in his trials, to do this. Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How true is that? The spirit is willing. Lord, I really want to be faithful. I really want to be a good person. I really want to be a good Christian. I really want to be a nice person at work, Lord. I really want to study hard and get the grades that I need to do. But I can't really be bothered because it's quite hard work. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. We can't control what happens to us. That's the truth of life, isn't it? We can't control what we go through. And Jesus teaches us to watch and pray, to be alert and to ask for God's help. And Peter, Jesus' disciple, says this, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And next week, we're going to talk more about what it means to stand against the enemy and live into the victory that Jesus has already won for us. But watching and praying are to a Christian what revision is to a student. Watching and praying is to a Christian what revision is to a student, because you don't go into the exam without having practiced. You don't go into the exam without having gone through what it is that you need to try to remember. You don't go into work without being prepared. Jesus wants to prepare us. And the way that he invites us to do it is by learning those practices that we were talking about through Lent. The rhythm of the beats, learning what it means to be a blessing, learning what it means to eat with one another, share our lives with each other, learning what it means to have a discipline of prayer. Because I promise you, if prayer is hard in the easy times, it's just going to get harder in the tough times. If we have a discipline of prayer where we are saying, I'm going to continue to pray, Lord, in the good times and the bad, and then sharing our lives, that's why connect groups are so important, sharing our lives with one another, being disciples, learning to be trained in what it means to be a missionary in our workplaces, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, and then to be those who are sent. We need to receive afresh the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may be empowered to live this life of victory that Jesus calls us to live. So Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation. We don't chase after these tests. Don't be like me and the spelling tests. That was stupid. Who likes tests? Nobody. Unless they're really easy. That's the only reason I like the spelling tests. And if they're an easy test, they're not really testing us. Don't pursue difficult things in life. That's what Jesus is telling us to pray. Lord, it'd be great if you could deliver us. It'd be great if you don't lead us into this times of trial. We ask God to help us avoid the temptation that we can't bear. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lord, help us avoid the great trials and tribulations which would crush us. Help us instead to pass safely through the time of trial, those testings of our faith. So I wonder today, are you going through a tough time? Are you going through a time of trial right now? Well, if you are, this is the truth of what Jesus has presented to us. The Lord wants to meet with you. The Lord wants to encourage you. The Lord may not take you straight out of that time of trial, but he does promise to be with you in it. He does promise to be faithful. He does promise to work it for his good. He does promise that if you cling on to him, as Lizzie and I were trying to cling on to him when we were in Arizona, then he will provide. He will be faithful. He will be with you. Why? Because he loves you. God loves you. And he longs for you to turn to him in the midst of the trials and the tribulations. Another part of that passage in Romans says this: if God is for us, who can be against us? And if you're not going through a time of testing or time of trial, if life's pretty good, thanks. Well, great. Now is the time to do the revision, right? Daisy was told by her English literature teacher at the beginning of the GCSEs, start learning the readings now, because then when you come to your GCSE, you'll know them. If you're going through a good time, read the Bible. If you're going through a good time, pray. If you're going through a good time, be with other Christians and share your life with them. Why? Because when you're going through a hard time, what will you need to do? You'll need to pray. You'll need to stand on the promises of Scripture. You'll need to have other Christians around you offering you the support. Watching and praying is to Christians what revision is to students. So ask the Holy Spirit to come. And I don't know if you're in a time of trial or not, but come, Holy Spirit.